Anyhow, Brother Smith, it's been probably over 20 years since he's been in this church building, and we are glad to have you and look forward to what the Lord has laid on your heart, so come and preach for us.
One of the most interesting men in the Bible, the New Testament, of course, would have to be John the Baptist, I think. John the Baptist. You know, his suit, his diet, his preaching. I don't know if many guys would come to hear John the Baptist today. Do you? I don't think so. But we should. I mean, he's got a lot to say. He has a lot to offer. But I think we're probably, sadly, losing. And as the days go on, the last days, I think we probably need more John the Baptists than less. In fact, our ministries probably should, or probably will, resemble John the Baptist ministry more than we can even imagine. Because we know things aren't going to get any easier, are they? Things are going to get a little harder. But John the Baptist was faithful. John the Baptist had committed his life to God to be a forerunner of Christ. He was not the Messiah. He was not the anticipated one. He was just the forerunner. But his ministry and his message and everything that he preached is really what we need to hear today. You know the story. It didn't end very well for John. He was faithful to the Lord, faithful to the Word. And he, like us, got a little discouraged at times and had to send out some emissaries to go talk with Jesus and find out if this is we're doing the right thing, preaching the right message. And Jesus says, just keep preaching, John. Just keep serving. Don't give up. Don't quit. John, as you know, ended up in prison. And he ended up in prison because he was faithful to the Word of God. He wasn't going to change his message. He wasn't going to lighten the load. And he was just going to give it to the Herods of this world who needed to hear it. And he ended up in prison. And of course, you know, his end was he lost his life. I hope that doesn't happen to us. But it wouldn't surprise me if the way this world is going, that's how some of us end up. Maybe a little isolated, a little out of step with the world, and maybe called upon to pay the ultimate price, which John the Baptist did. That would not be good. It would not be good for our families. Certainly it would not be good for our churches, I'm sure. But we have to listen to this man this morning. We're going to read a few scriptures from John chapter 1 and John chapter 3. But I hope that our ministries look a little more like John the Baptist ministry than maybe a Joel Osteen type of ministry. Especially in the last days, right? You couldn't get two further examples of men who stand behind a pulpit, John the Baptist and a Joel Osteen. But think about this. John the Baptist didn't do a very good job protecting himself. It wasn't like he had some big retirement program or stepping stool or ladder to the next level of success in ministry. It just seems like his ministry is decreasing along the way as the ministry of Christ is increasing. That's not a bad thing, is it? Not a bad thing for us to consider in our ministries and how we end up. It's not about us, it's about Christ. And John the Baptist can teach us that. Certainly an observation we can make is that in ministry, when you combine unrealistic expectations with real life, when they intersect, it doesn't always turn out the way you think it's going to turn out in ministry. I remember in Bible college, you know, you had to plot your ministry and it was, you know, it was go into a town and buy some land and buy some buses and start a Christian school. And I still remember all those plans. But, you know, it's good to plan, but we may, some of us, God may call us in such a way that our ministries resemble more like John the Baptist, who I'm sure in his ministry plan did not end up saying on the last page, I'm going to be in prison and lose my head for preaching the gospel. No one does that, I hope. But the unrealistic expectations, and sadly for some preachers, there's this God complex that God can't do it without me. Well, John the Baptist, his whole ministry shows us that without John the Baptist, it's still going to go on. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Our church is going on without us. Yeah. John's message was one that says, you must believe in Christ. And his whole ministry was pointing people to Christ. And that should be our ministry. Listen to it in John chapter 1. We'll make a few more observations, but listen to verse 19. This is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Who are you, John? This is the religious crowd coming to this backwater, camel hair wearing, locust eating preacher. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ. And they said, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet, the Deuteronomy 18 prophet, the Messiah prophet? Are you that one? The one we've been waiting for? And he said, no. He answered, no. And they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Abra beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And you know verse 29, right? The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a messenger! What a message! Not a message that's well received today, but it's the message of the book. It's the uniqueness of John the Baptist in his ministry. He was one pointing people away from self and on to Christ. Think about it. That is why all of us, I'm sure, in this room today, that's why we went into the ministry. That's why we listened to the call of God, because we wanted to point people to Christ, the one who can save their soul. Not about us, it's about him. It's not about our accomplishments. It's not about our resume. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I like John, though. I mean, he's the man of the hour. He's odd. He's unique. He's special in God's plan. He gets the highest commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You remember that? I'm not sure where it's found. I think we'll read it in a moment. But among women, there's not been one greater than John the Baptist. Man. John is out there. He is building Christians. I mean, he's building strong believers that receive Messiah, that get saved, that follow Christ, that become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not building mega churches. He's building mega Christians. That's what God has called us to do. That's who God has called us to be. I mean, John taught his disciples to fast and to pray. Mega Christians. That's what our world needs today. And John teaches us that some of the best Christians, some of the strongest Christians that we've ever known in our life have been very weak. Weak in the eyes of this world. Do you have those folks in your church? They don't have very much. They don't, by the world standards, their name is never going to be on a plaque, or they're not going to have any special on TV. Most of the world just brushes them off, and they don't take a second look. But you and I know, as preachers, you and I, as guys in ministry, men and women in ministry, we know some of those weak individuals are some of the strongest Christians in our lives. They're the ones that are praying for you right now. They're the ones that come when nobody else shows up, right? Wednesday night, it's dark. I don't know what time it gets dark here in February, but it gets dark about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the east coast of Massachusetts. It just feels that way. I wonder, is anybody going to show up here on Wednesday night? And then a few of those weak but strong John the Baptist type Christians come in through the door with a Bible in their hand, and they want to hear what you got to say. Lord, bless those kind of people. We need to be more like them. What we learn from John is that you and I, we're not all powerful. We are not the Christ. We can't solve every problem. Christ can. We can't fix every situation. We're not the Christ. We're not all powerful. We're certainly not all knowing. And sometimes people think we are, don't they? And we may lead them on to believe we know everything. We have all the answers. But sometimes it would be good for us to say, we just don't know. Go talk to Jesus about it. That's what John did. Go talk to the Lord about it. I don't know the answer. I just know that God has called me. I just know that God is going to use my weakness. I am not the Christ. You and I, we are not the Christ. But there is one who is, and that's who we point people to. We are not the Christ. We don't want to be the Christ. We want all the glory to go to God. Listen how it reads in John chapter 3, the next chapter over or so, in verse 22. John chapter 3 and verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men are come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. There it is, a second time. Verse 28, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that had received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the spirit of measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That was John's message. John knew exactly who, John knew who he was not. He knew he was not Messiah. He was not the Christ. John was not. They came to him earlier in John 1 and said, "Are you Elijah?" That's, hey, wow. That's a raise, huh? Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Or are you that Deuteronomy 18 prophet that we've been waiting for, that messianic prophet? Are you him? John says, "No, I'm not." He knew exactly who he was not. He's not the Christ. Sometimes in our own minds we have a resume, and we say, you know, we've done this, we've accomplished this, and before long, if we start believing our own resume, we've really gotten away from what John is trying to show us here, what John is trying to teach us. We're not the Christ. That follows exactly what Steve was talking about, doesn't it? It's not our power. It's not our strength. It's not our ability. It's pointing people to him. You know what I'd like to put on my resume? I don't know if this is going to help me at all, but I'd like to say, I'm not the best organizer in the world. I don't know how that's going to work, huh? I may not be the best motivator. I may not be the best fundraiser. Those things, for John the Baptist, those things didn't matter. He knew who he was not. I wish I could be more like Pastor Eric Malachuk. This guy is faithful, amen? He's a guy you want to hang around with. I don't know why we, other than 150 miles, we've been separated for a while, coming over that mountain. I don't know if he knows this or not, but over 10 years ago, there was a young college student couple that used to come to your church. And they were dating. She's a believer, he's not. And every time Steve walked into those doors, Eric would say to Steve, "Steve, do you know for sure you're saved?" And I don't know what he said to you. He listened. He came to this church for 5 months. In 5 months, he held on to that pew in front of him. And after 5 months, listening to this man preach the word, he raised his hand for salvation. Old Steve, I said, "Steve, what do you want me to tell? What do you want me to tell Pastor Malachuk?" He said, "Thank you." He and Crystal got married. They've been married for 10 years. They have 3 beautiful children. And he's a deacon in our church. This man's faithfulness. Glory to God, right? Yeah, you should have been. You should have been. Man, we don't always see the blessings. John the Baptist didn't see all the blessings. He's on one side, John 3, and Jesus is in another part of the region. And he's not seeing everything that's going on, but he's just staying faithful. He knows who he's not. He understands, I'm not the Christ. The longer that you and I do ministry, certainly the harder it gets. It seems like the more that you learn, the more you realize you don't know. That's the way ministry works. Paul said it this way, "We are fools for Christ's sake. Ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of this world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. 1 Corinthians 4. That's us. Preachers, that's us. I wish I could say it's going to get easier. I wish I could say that everything's going to turn out fine. But most of us will end up more like John the Baptist, kind of isolated. Maybe our life will be on the line. That's okay. We're not the Christ. It was Hudson Taylor that said, "Take heart. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God. Because they reckoned on God being with them." This is John the Baptist. He knew that God was with him. It's not going to end well for him. We take the words of Paul where he says in 2 Corinthians 12, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's John the Baptist. That's the guy that nobody wants to invite to his church. No one wants to go to his seminars. No one wants to read his books. He's not as polished as some of the other preachers of his day. But he knew something we need to know. Not the Christ. He knew exactly who he was not. He knew who he was, a man of God. His identity was bound up in the fact that he belonged to Christ. He was the forerunner. He was the one that was bearing the message. He called himself a walking signpost. He called himself the best man at the wedding. He's not the Christ. He knows who he's not, but he also knows, and preachers, we need to know who we are. The town, the city, the region that God has placed you in. For such a time as this, you're right where God wants you to be. And John understood that. There are people always trying to search. They're trying to search for their identity. And the Christian bookshelves are filled with those kinds of books. Help us. There's an identity crisis among Christians. And sadly, there's an identity crisis among preachers and pastors. We've forgotten who we are as God's men. And the search, that search for that. John had already done his homework. I mean, when they came to him and they said, "Are you the Christ?" What would you do, you know? Been waiting for Messiah for a long time. And God has evidently called John. Would have been very easy for him to step forward and say, "Yep, I'm your man." But he didn't. Imagine the emotions when they said, "Boy, you are exactly like Elijah, that big prophet of the Old Testament." Can you imagine that? But that did not shake, or that did not shatter his identity. He knew exactly who he was. Can you imagine being a walking signpost, the forerunner of Christ? It's like a message board, carrying a message board through the town with one message on it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to be saved. John has a very limited message, doesn't he? He's just focusing on Christ and who he is and pointing people to him. He's saying, "I'm not the bridegroom, I'm just the best man." Can you imagine? And let me tell you, pastors, I mean, we love our churches and we know our calling. We know who we're supposed to be as leaders in our church and as good shepherds in our church. But we're not the bridegroom, are we? Christ is. It would be like Steve and Crystal. I can't remember who their best man was, but he had a great line at the wedding. You missed the wedding too. That invitation must have gotten lost in the mail. But the line that he gave after the wedding was, boy, these guys dress up very well other than for court appearances. And I thought, that's a great line at a wedding, right? They're all dressed up. But can you imagine Crystal walking down? She's a beautiful bride, beautiful young lady. He's a handsome young man. Three beautiful kids serving the Lord in our church. Can you imagine Crystal coming down that aisle? And Steve waiting for him, waiting for her. And she's looking over, gazing at the best man. We're just the best man. We're not the bridegroom. All the focus for our church should be on Christ. Not on us, but on the Lord Jesus. And that's what John the Baptist teaches us. It's a hard lesson. It's one that preachers have struggled with forever. Spurgeon said, if you cannot magnify God, it is probably because you are magnifying yourself. Oh, me. And I think I'm, as Steve said it best, when I'm indispensable, when I get to that place where I say, nothing's going to go on without me, we get that way as Independent Baptist preachers, don't we? Every meeting, every event, every special, every work day. You know, they should pay us. Here we go. They should pay us for not showing up at stuff. Amen? The less we show up, the more we should get paid. Think about that for a moment. No, it's just part of our nature. It's different than what we see in John the Baptist. He knows Jesus is preaching and baptizing in a different region. He's right where he's supposed to be. It was Hudson Taylor, missionary, said, let us give up our work, our thoughts, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all right into his hand. And then when we have given all over to him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about or to make trouble about. We get so busy and so caught up that we are acting like little Christs when we're not the Christs. We're not Christ. John said it best, I am not the Christ. There's only one Jesus. And he died on a cross for the sins of the world. John knew exactly who he was not, but he knew who he was. Most importantly, he knew Christ. Amen? He knew the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that says, he could have said, well, guess what? I'm related to Jesus. He never said that, did he? He could have said, I'm the one that he said. None greater born among women than me, John the Baptist. That was not on his business card. No, he knew who Christ was. We read it in John 1, his sermon, his message. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. What a message to preach. Pointing people to Jesus Christ, who can save their sins, who can rescue them from the awfulness of sin that destroys lives. Only the gospel can do that. Only the good news. John said, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. He knew who Christ was and is. Preached him. He preached Jesus in a way that, oh, we need to learn. The writer of John's gospel says, quoting Jesus, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, Jesus said, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Do we believe that still? We know who our John in his hour of distress, he knew who to go to. He knew who to send word to. He knew where the answers would come from Jesus. Because ultimately, Jesus was his audience. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King Jesus. That was John the Baptist's message. Often we get off track and we forget who we are. We forget who we are not. But never, please, never, never forget the most important. Know who Christ is. Preach him with all of your heart and all of your soul. It was one of the English reformers, Hugh Latimer. Interesting story. The wicked king of England, Henry VIII, was just a wicked, adulterous, vile human being. Latimer gave him a Bible, and he folded over the pages, so kind of, you know, just to let him know where to start reading. And he chose a couple of passages. How do these sound to you? Hebrews 13:4. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Whoo! He wasn't changing his message, was he? He wasn't. Here's another one. Then said John the Baptist to the multitude that came forth to be baptized, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Not messing around, is he? He put little bookmarks right in those passages for the king to read. They said to him, they said, don't you know who you're preaching to? Don't you know that this king is King Henry VIII, right? He can cut off your head. He can take your life at any moment. And he preached that message to the king. And of course, the king was mad. Everybody said, change your message. King shows up the next Sunday. And he opens his Bible to the very same text and preaches the same message to that king. That's John the Baptist kind of guy. They're few and far between. I think there's a bunch of them here this afternoon. Henry VIII died. His young son, Edward VI, died. And then Bloody Mary ascends to the throne. It was in 1555 where Latimer and this guy named Ridley were arrested and burnt at the stake. The words are recorded from Latimer to his friend Ridley. Be of good comfort, Brother Ridley. Play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. I wonder if we could, in 2017, change those words just a little bit. By God's grace, in New England, I trust, shall never be put out. New England needs the gospel. Every city, every town, every little village they need to hear about the Christ. We're not the Christ, but they need to hear about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for them. Let me leave you with the words of Paul, some of the final words he would say. He says, I give thee charge, Timothy. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in time past he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Those are the words. Those are the kind of words that sustain us when we feel a little bit like John the Baptist. We feel like we're isolated just a bit. That's okay. We're not pointing people to ourselves. We're not the Christ. We know who the Christ is. We know who we are not, and we know who we are. Men of God, with the Bible in our hands, and the name Jesus Christ on our lips. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these men and their families. Thank you for their ministries. All of us in this room are surrounded by some John the Baptists. Lord, help us to listen to them. Lean in just a little bit and hear what they have to say. See their life. Realize that, God, you've used them in the past, and you're going to use them in the future. Lord, bless these men. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.